Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Brandela.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're going to start. This is the Zohar on Parashah Noah. We're in section 18, and we're starting with verse 134. And I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkin, Ebit, Himu, Rikimu, Uthilu, Uthilu, Rikimu. Le'akda, L'shem Yudhe, Bavalche, Yichuda, Shalim, B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Elena Ma'aseya Deinu Kununei Elena Ma'aseya Deinu Kununeihu. Tachat Fei Moshe La Yakil Lekarva Veistach La Bame Veistakal Elakad Eat Labash Bilbusha Achara Kedaa Veyavo Moshe Betoch Ha'anan Vaya al el har, betargum bim tziut, anana ve'it labash, bakeman de'it labash, pilvushal gid, umoshe nagish, el ha'arafel, asher sham, Ha'elokim utiv v'yavo Moshe v'toch ha'anan v'gomer v'yehi Moshe v'har arba'im yom v'arba'im laila v'yakil l'istakala b'amer v'istakal. Come and see. Moses would not have been able to approach what he was looking at had he not been dressed in another garment. As it is written, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And he covered himself with the cloud as a person wears a garment. And then it is written, and Moses drew near to the thick darkness where Elohim was. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights and was able to see what he saw. Questions, comments, thoughts?
It looks like Moses knew the principle that no one can look upon God and live. So he knew he had to be dressed in another garment, which meant there had to be a veil between he and Hashem in the spiritual world. And so he used as a covering the cloud, which would follow them around in the desert. And I guess that was enough to cover him so that he could converse with Hashem for 40 days and 40 nights. That's what I think, anyway.
Well, wasn't the cloud the Shekhinah?
The cloud?
The cloud that them in the desert,
The clouds in the desert, but they... The clouds in the desert were in the honor of Aaron. So in a sense, they were connected to the Shekhinah, but there were seven clouds in the desert, and so they're really dealing with the Sephirot.
I didn't realize that.
Well, I thought about him clothing himself in the Sephirot, but the part about the cloud in the, I can't say it. You know what I mean?
The Shekhinah.
Right.
The Shekhinah represents the Malchut. She represents the seventh Sephirah.
She's the feminine principle, right?
Right.
Okay.
You know, the academics would say she's the female aspect of Hashem. Zerampin is Hashem, and Malchut is the female aspect, which is the Shekhinah. That's the way they refer to her. That's the way the Kabbalists refer to her. So, but one thing you said, Hana, that I'm not sure is correct, because yes, the Torah attests that we cannot see God's face and live. But I believe the name of God that's used in that case is Hashem. And here it's talking about Elohim. So you could
I was
look
surprised
at
that,
Elohim.
That Elohim was within darkness. That was kind of a surprise to me. I would have thought that the spiritual realm would be all light.
But you have to remember that everything is relative. The spiritual realm is all light in comparison to the physical world. But darkness doesn't mean the lack of light. It means a lowering of the light, a lessening of the light.
Okay.
And Elohim is a God, is the name of God dealing with judgment. And judgment is considered darkness, just like the left column is considered darkness. But it's really darkness in comparison to the right column. It's not darkness in the sense of an absolute darkness.
I can see that makes a difference. Mm-hmm.
And also the as we're talking about garments, darkness is a garment. If a cloud is a garment, so is darkness.
I always had the vision of a white cloud, so I guess I didn't think in terms of that. And I always thought the clouds in the wilderness was Hashem's presence, all right, and the children couldn't look upon it. And so cloud by day, but fire by night.
Right.
I didn't think of a dark cloud.
No, I understand that this is what this verse is expressing. But, I mean, I know the verse before we were talking about garments, but by itself, if you don't look beyond it, what does it really say? It's saying that Moses needed a garment to go into heaven. But Moses didn't go up to heaven. He went into the mountain. He went up into the mountain. There's a lot of secrets in those words.
Mm-hmm. Well, mountain means a high place, so I thought mountain symbolized a code word for heaven.
Yeah, but if he went up into the mountain physically, when you go into a mountain, inside of it, it's not very light.
That's reasonable. That's true.
You have to bring your own light. So did Moses then clothe himself in light to go into the darkness? To
well,
get
we,
the light?
We, we've been taught that to go to heaven, you have a garment of light. That Adam, when he was first created, did not have skin like animal skin like we have today, but he had skin like our fingernails and toenails. All of his skin was like that, which is translucent. It's made of keratin, the same thing that animals' horns are made of. It's clear. That's why it looks pink underneath it, because we can see the flow of the blood at the ends of the fingers. But the nail itself is translucent. We can see through it.
Well, surely his closeness to Hashem and his mitzvot were garments for him.
His garments are his mitzvot that he did. That's correct.
Okay, so what are we missing?
A lot.
Well, you're being hesitant.
Follow me, not so surprised.
No, I'm just trying to think of a question so he'll answer it.
Well, I did everything I did.
Go ahead, Brandy.
I said I did everything I could. Clothed in white.
Not my favorite way to cut a roast. I like the natural gravy. You know, like the meat. But it wasn't bad. It's edible.
What are we missing? It's really a good question. Mm-hmm.
The meat really didn't have a whole lot of taste.
The first thing that I as I read the verse that occurs to me is, what is it doing in this place? What is it adding to our knowledge? Moses needed a garment.
I thought last week, because we mentioned the idea that the yeshivot in heaven with the tzaddikim and the women, you know, and Moses was with Batya. And, you know, so I figured, oh, look at there. We're going to hear about Moses.
Well, we are reading about Moses. We are studying.
I'm not sure what I'm hungry for. I'm hungry for something, but I'm not sure what.
But he covered himself with the cloud.
Yeah, I had pizza in a while.
Think about what it would take to cover yourself with a cloud.
Who?
What is the nature of a cloud, like a cumulus cloud that's floating through the sky? We see
it's like a vapor.
It's just a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just water.
Okay,
we see it as a cloud, as a condensed, because it's relative to the sky around it. It's got another layer. We don't see air. But the sky around the cloud is only air. We can see it. The cloud is this vapor. And the vapor is made of water. And the water is Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Watching
the snow melt on top of our fence in the backyard, it looked like the fence was fire, because the vapors that, you know, you didn't see any more snow on the very top of it anymore, but you could see the vapors. So you knew that that was the residue of the snow. And
right.
I don't know how long it lasted, but it was as if all the fence on every side was on fire, which it wasn't. I knew it was the vapor, you know. And then later when I looked, it had already stopped. So I knew, you know, there was no more water on the top of the fence. And even the side fence, the sides of them were starting to look like their normal color, not a dark, wet wood look, you know. So I can see the vapor as a cloud, because that's kind of what it, if you could have bunched it together, it just looked like a candle that was at the end of its burning process, you know, with the smoke going up. But it appeared as the whole wall, all three walls were on fire because of smoke, you know.
Right, understood. What's the last verse add to, last sentence in the Pasuk? What does it add to our knowledge? Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay. Symbolizing judgment.
Okay. Word.
It is.
But I've forgotten what
look
it
at
is.
Look at the Hebrew letters. It's Arba'im is the word for 40. Arba means four. And
yeah,
the plural.
That was our vocabulary words we had last week in Hebrew class. Arba'ah. And we know Kiryat Arba'ah from Genesis
from the right. So, but Arab is spelled Ayin Resh Bet. The same letters are there for Arab.
Okay. So Aaron and 40 have the same letters?
I believe so.
Okay.
You want me to double check?
It's not that I don't believe you. So if you want to check, you can check.
It's better to be sure. So.
Okay.
Yeah, Erev is Ayin Resh Bet. Now, you can take it even further, and you can say Ayin Resh is Air, meaning evil, or Ra, Resh Ayin, means evil. And then you have Aleph and Bet is father. So it's a sea of evil fathers.
Okay.
So there's a lot of code words, a lot of words within the Pasuk that we're not really appreciating. And what the message is, and essentially the question I first asked when I first read it, why is it, what is it doing here? What is it giving us? And it's not clear. We're talking about garments. Darkness could have been a garment, Moses. It says that Moses drew near to the thick darkness. That's a garment for Elohim. Does Elohim need a garment? Or is it a garment to protect Moses? Let's go on to the next pasuk.
Okay.
Pasuk 145. Kegavna da mit labashin nishmat chon tzadikaya behahu alma bilusha kegavna behahu alma dila yitnahayg Ela bilusha ke gavna da de kaime leistakalam bin chora denaher behahu eret pachayim vezehu ya beret pachayim techawa savir dila Iske lehahu nechora ulhahu istakluta begin denachara denagid pasik leya velaolid lo abit adam mod da adam kadmaa kima v'teit mar. In the same way, the souls of the righteous in the world of truth dress themselves in garments and act in accordance with that world. So dressed, they are prepared to gaze into the light that shines in the land of the living, meaning that they cover themselves with the light of the female principle, from which they are able to gaze into the light of the radiant mirror. When Hezekiah called, Yah, in the land of the living, he was afraid that he might no longer be worthy of gazing on that light and meriting that vision. The stream that flows from the Garden of Eden, he stopped it and did not beget any children. And whoever does not indulge in the act of procreation blemishes the river that flows from the Garden of Eden, which is Yesoda Zeranpin. This is indicated in the verse, I shall behold man no more. This refers to the first man, as has already been explained. Adam sits at the gate of the Garden of Eden and receives the souls of the righteous who arrive there. Hezekiah feared that he was not worthy of seeing Adam at the gate. Question, comments, thoughts.
Was Hezekiah the one who did not want children because he thought that
he saw through his prophecy that his children would be evil.
Yeah.
And so he didn't want to bring the evil into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah came and prophesied to him that he would die because it's not up to mankind to question what the next generation is going to be doing. If you're scheduled to bring children, you need to bring children, whatever they will become. As my mother used to say, I don't take the credit, but I won't accept the blame.
And I've heard another say, well, they all ate from the same bowl, and yet each one of them was different.
Exactly.
She's still not taking the blame. Well, by him saying Yah, that was his password into the spiritual world, or at least to be into a vision of Gan Eden. And he's concerned because he doesn't want children that he won't be able to enter.
Well, there's a couple of ways to understand Yah. Yah is the upper world. Atzilut and Briah.
Okay.
Briah is called, is known as the radiant, or Atzilut is the radiant mirror, Briah is the radiant mirror, and Zeranpin, or Yetzirah, is the darkened mirror. I forget the term for it. But another way of understanding Yah, Yah, if you put them together, it's Yud-Heh, and that is the name of Hashem after the correction. So that is really talking about the land of the living, as it says. He's saying, I won't be allowed there. And is he talking about the Garden of Eden, which would be the lower Garden of Eden, or is he talking about the upper Garden of Eden? And I think he's talking about the upper Garden of Eden.
Is he doing this through his meditation?
No.
Yes, I think he is. I think it is a meditation. The whole idea of the previous verse, when I was asking, what does it mean to go into the mountain? When you meditate, do you actually go? You actually go physically into that other dimension, or is that other dimension within your mind?
It's the medicine right now. What I had to do with my sinus headache. Put it in the butt.
Does when you get a sinus headache, ask for more pain and it'll go away after it gives you more pain. I speak from personal experience. But what is the verse actually telling us? We need to be in garments in each world. Has a different set of garments. Each world has a different set of laws called nature. Physics is different in every dimension, in every world. That's what we're being taught here. It's a hint. It's not said exactly or expressly.
Okay, so it's mentioned Moses, and then it mentions Hezekiah. Is that the hint that's telling us it's different worlds, different dimensions?
Well, Hezekiah is supposed Hezekiah was in the Shiach of his generation.
I would imagine she did.
I think she doesn't realize she's not muted.
Right.
I think by now she knows how to ride a bike. Hello.
Meet her little friends and they go back. Malcolm, you need to mute your phone. Thank you. So, as I was saying, Moses is the Mashiach of his generation.
Okay.
And ultimately the Mashiach of all generations. Hezekiah is considered the Mashiach of his generation. And it's talking about Adam. Initially in this section, it spoke about Adam sitting at the gate of the Garden of Eden and receiving all of the righteous. And Hezekiah was fearful of not being worthy of that after he was told that he was going to die because he didn't have children. And the story is that he did teshuvah. And before Isaiah got out of the palace, he was sent back to Hezekiah to tell him that the decree had been rescinded because his teshuva was accepted.
I think he was granted 15 years, which would be also, that would also be y'all.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So many codes within codes, isn't it?
But we needed you to see that each world needs a different set of garments. And somehow, I guess,
yes.
I didn't think of Hezekiah as a Mashiach of his generation either. So, but like I say, I'm getting rusty on Torah, so I need to actually go and reread about Hezekiah too.
Hezekiah was before it talks about this incident with Isaiah and the prophecy. It describes how he brought the people back from the idol worship that they had fallen into.
Mm-hmm.
His father was a Rasha. And the children after him were Rasha, were evil as well.
Right. That was Manasseh was one of them, I think, Manasseh.
We're out of time, so we're...
This is really interesting.
It's an interesting section, and we're doing it in a way we have to keep it all together in our minds as we go through it.
Yeah.
So the two verses we read today, I really don't know what they're doing, you know, indeed. Other than the idea of garments, they don't follow from what we read before. And of course, we haven't finished it. Two more verses in this to finish the section, but which we'll do tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
Maybe the garments have to be different when you're in a meditation as when you pass away. Maybe it's different garments.
Even in your meditation, you need a garment.
Well, I know, but maybe those garments are different.
They are. It depends on which dimension you go to.
Mm-hmm.
And that depends on the letters you're utilizing and what your consciousness is before you go into the meditation. It will send you to different dimensions, different worlds. And the garments in each world are different.
And all I can say to that, it's a trip in itself.
I appreciate your humor, Brandy.
Thank you.
So our class at 7, the 7 p.m. class, the next class, we're going to be continuing our preparation for Hanukkah. And I hope you'll join us because there's some interesting things in that. There's another article on the that I put up today. So,
okay, good.
You all have a beautiful evening. Tomorrow at 4:30, we will have our
mini Zohar.
We'll finish. We'll finish this mini Zohar, and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we're going to. Each night for the 8 nights of Hanukkah, or not all that every, each night that we have a class at 7 o'clock, I'm planning to do a candle lighting and have a little bit of discussion and study. So I hope you'll join us for that as well.
Okay,
shalom to all.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, thanks.
Shalom.
Shalom.